Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. I did not catch whether Mark talked about this yet or not, but we just got a note in from Pensacola Police Department that dispatch had a halon activation in their building and was evacuated. So that's a fire suppression mechanism. So all 911 calls have been rerouted to the County Emergency Operations Center over on W Street. All the phone lines to Pensacola Police are down right now. They're still answering emergency calls just now going back into the building as of 1 minute ago per Mike Wood, the public information officer for PPD. So we'll get you updated on that as need be. But just kind of be aware that PPD may, contacting them and getting answers in the short term may be a little bit delayed. Joining us now from Santa Rosa County, we have the Sheriff's Chief Deputy Shane Tucker. Chief, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing well. The big news from Friday, I guess, unless I'm mistaken about the day of it, was it the bank robbery at the Synovus, right?
Yes, sir. Last Friday, a subject walked into the Synovus Bank in Navarre, handed the clerk a note demanding money, and of course the cashier complied with the demand and provided an undisclosed amount of cash to the suspect. The suspect took off. Within just minutes, deputies were on scene and started investigating. They were able to relatively quickly track down some leads, which led to identifying the suspect, who was just a matter of hours later taken into custody. So our deputies, our investigators, our crime scene investigators all really, really responded and did a fantastic job in this suspect is now in custody.
And I know you guys are having a press conference this morning. I assume at the press conference is when Sheriff is going to reveal the name of the person arrested and other relevant details.
Yes, sir. He's going to provide a lot more details on the investigation.
So I used to live in Phoenix, Arizona, and that was like the bank robbery capital of America. It was crazy. And it's something you just don't think much about these days, but this is far more common than people realize. How common is it here?
You know, anecdotally, I can answer that. Over the course of my career, there's been a handful of bank robberies here in Santa Rosa County. I would have to say it's on the lower end of the spectrum as far as you know, how often it occurs. It occurs a lot more than I thought it would before I got into law enforcement.
Yeah, no, and it's and of course the banks themselves are, you know, unless I'm wrong about this, are told, you know, comply, it's just money, you know, we have a way to take care of this after the fact. It's just money, and that's the most important thing to realize, right?
Correct. And you know, the movies are a little bit misleading, but one thing I've never seen in an actual bank robbery is a bank teller or somebody in there actually resisting the suspect. And it's just, bank robbery is a difficult crime to get away with for most people. So the smart money is on just complying and getting the best description you can and then letting the police do their job. And in this case, it worked out just perfect.
Yeah, and well, that's good news, and obviously good work by your deputies. You also had another story develop over the weekend where we've now had a charge issued for a shooting that took place last year, right?
Yes, sir, we did. If you recall, there was an incident last October where two females were accused of attempting to rob an individual at the Simpson River Fishing Park in Pace. During the attempted robbery, the victim fought back. Both of the suspects wound up with gunshot wounds, one of which died as a result of those injuries. So the other accomplice in that has now been charged with homicide and robbery. And again, at the press conference this morning, Sheriff Johnson is going to have a lot more details on that.
Okay, so the way I understand the law, that would be Felony homicide, right? Because that would be in the commission of a felony. If somebody dies, you wind up being responsible for that just because you were involved in the commission of the underlying felony. Is that right?
Yes, sir. That's absolutely correct. If an individual commits a felony crime, and as a result of that crime, and it doesn't matter if it's directly attributed to what the person is doing, but if a person is killed as a result of the commission of that crime, then that person is responsible for homicide.
And the victim in this case, the target of the robbery, was acting in self-defense, or is there a new development in that regard as well?
No, that's not a new development.
Okay.
In the initial stages of the investigation, it appeared to point to a stand your ground case.
Okay, which, because it's out in the public, it's stand your ground. It's not inside a home. Very good. Okay, very good. The last thing I wanted to ask you about is, oh my God, what is going on with traffic? I mean, it's on I-10, Highway 98, I mean, Tiger Point. You've seen, it was bad this weekend.
You know, it was. I don't know if it had anything to do with the sinkholes in Tiger Point, but it seemed like this weekend, if anything could go wrong traffic-related, it did. And unfortunately, we saw, not only us, but in Escambia County as well, we saw a lot of accidents and a lot of people getting hurt. So I think this is an excellent opportunity to remind people to slow down, watch out for other people, respect the rules of the road, and just be patient. If someone gets killed in a car crash, you know, how late they were suddenly becomes permanently irrelevant.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, you know, nobody wants to get a ticket, but getting a ticket slows you down for the time it takes. Getting into a wreck, it is life altering, you know, financially, mm-hmm. physically, can be your whole family. And, you know, it's a mess. And even down to the little stuff, like, and it's not little stuff for the people who live there, but, you know, going through Tiger Point or going through that neighborhood off of Porpoise, you know, that's over to the west side of Avalon on Garson uh-huh. Point. I mean, if you're going to do a workaround, it's not illegal to do it, but please be kind when you're driving through these neighborhoods. People live there, you know, right?
A little bit of courtesy will go a long way.
Absolutely. Shane Tucker, he is the chief deputy at the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. Chief, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for what you do. We certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, 8:16 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Dave.
Well, look, COVID won't disappear. We're going to have to learn to live with it. But the risk is substantially reduced as a result of vaccination, as a result of immunity that people have acquired through prior infection. And so I think we're at the point in time when we can start lifting these ordinances in a wholesale fashion. And people have to take precautions based on their individual risk. They have to judge their own individual risk and decide whether or not they're going to avoid crowds or wear masks based on their circumstances.
Yeah, and everybody's circumstances could be a little bit different based on, obviously, whether you've been vaccinated once, twice, have immune risk, whether you're around people in your life who themselves might be at risk in some way. What is the prevalence in your community? But this is Scott Gottlieb from the formerly FDA commissioner.
But we've always said from a public health standpoint that we would set as a metric maybe when we get down to 10 cases per 100,000 people on a daily basis. Well, half the country's there right now. If you want to be more conservative and say 5 cases per 100,000 people, well, by this week, probably about a quarter of states will be there. So we're at the point right now we could start lifting these ordinances and allowing people to resume normal activities.
Yeah, if you're wondering where we are at, by the way, that's that infections per 100,000 persons that he's talking about. That's a metric that I've used many times. That's, to my mind, that is one of the key metrics for understanding the prevalence of the disease in any given area. The state of Florida is not in such great shape when it comes to that. About 20 per 100,000 per day, which is about, you know, I do it in terms of the last 2 weeks. That's the metric that the CDC has been using historically. So the goal was 100, and we are at 286 in Florida. Locally, it's, again, 100 is kind of the break-even point. That's like 7 or 8 per day. We're at 143 in Escambia, and Santa Rosa is right on the verge of breaking down under 100. It's at 112. So Escambia and Santa Rosa are right in or near under that 10 per day. Not quite close to the 5 per day. That's a really low number to get to. Hospitalizations have been declining in the state. In fact, they've been going down now for about 2 weeks, which is good news. So, yeah, he's right. And I just tell tell you, for me, you know, having been vaccinated, and now I'm not wearing a mask unless a place like requires me to, it's nice. It's nice. It's nice not to have hand pain from the hand sanitizer. It's nice to just breathe free. And, you know, look, I still believe in the value of the mask under certain circumstances, but I believe the vaccine. And if you've got the vaccine, it's effective.
You know, there's one model that's out that says that if you were 65 and above, your risk of succumbing to COVID if you were infected with it was around 1 in 100 during the peak of the infection, and probably a little worse than that at the outset. That same model now predicts it's about 1 in 20,000 if you've been fully vaccinated and you're an immunocompetent person.
And that's if you come in contact with it. And in Escambia County, you know, again, it's just about 1 in 1,000 really is all you're really looking at is the chance. And so it's very unlikely.
Look, I think that that's right. People get uncomfortable when you start comparing the rate of, you know, death and the risk of COVID to flu because of some of the comparisons that have been made in the past. But I think for, you know, most consumers who need something to anchor against, I think that that's a fair assessment, that if you're fully vaccinated against COVID with one of the Western vaccines, your risk of having a bad outcome from COVID is about comparable to flu and maybe less, because the vaccines for COVID are more effective than the vaccines for flu. So I think that that's a reasonable way for the average consumer to anchor their thinking about COVID right now.
Yeah, so prevalence in society, being vaccinated, the inconvenience of wearing masks and the low value of wearing masks if you've been vaccinated. I'll just tell you, it's nice. I'll tell you, it's very, very nice. Went bowling Friday at Cordova for the junior achievement. Had a lot of fun doing that. Went to, I was at Joe Paddy's yesterday. We've been to a couple of restaurants in between and shops, and it's just, you know, look, if they want me to wear one, I don't mind. I defer to them. They're business owners, private property, no big deal. But it's just nice. It's nice. Now, I understand the symbolic value in the, like, a lot of people don't wear masks because they're vaccinated. A lot of people don't wear masks because they don't want to wear masks. And I understand that there's a certain, you know, it's hard to tell which is which. So at the moment, I might just look like the person doesn't want to wear a mask. Well, I can't help that, you know. But generally speaking, yeah, if you haven't been vaccinated, wear one. Still wear one. Definitely. You know, my kids haven't been vaccinated. They still wear a mask. I mean, it's that simple. 437-1620, 437-1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Maryland's governor believes American voters want lawmakers in Washington to tell them the truth, work together, and get things done.
We're just attacking members of our own party instead of focusing on solving problems or standing up and having an argument.
On NBC's Meet the Press, Republican Larry Hogan says the GOP's push to draw closer to Donald Trump is not likely to broaden the tent. He says successful politics is about addition and multiplication, not subtraction and division. A 4-year-old girl's expected to be okay after being shot in New York while out toy shopping. She and a tourist hit in the leg, a 43-year-old woman shot in the foot. Police say it happened when a gunman opened fire on a crowd in Times Square. He was aiming for his brother. Police now looking for him. Oil prices rising this morning after that pipeline had to be shut down because of a cyber attack. Nearly half the fuel supply on the East Coast comes from that Colonial pipeline.
Yeah, and you know, Mark, it's kind of interesting. We just got a text. Somebody asked me, have you heard about any local gas stations being out of gas because of concerns about a run on it? Man, I hadn't, but I'll tell you, I'm looking at the Gas Buddy map, and on the west side of Pensacola, and mostly on the west side of Pensacola, I do see, I don't know, a number of stations that are reporting dashes, which is typically how that works when they're out of gas. It also can mean something nobody's reporting, okay? So I don't know this for a fact, but in the Softly Field vicinity and Myrtle Grove, I hope it's temporary. I'm sure it will be temporary, but I think people woke up today and got scared based on the news of the pipeline, and, you know, there's a consequence to how collective, aggregated people behave, right? 825 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm not particularly worried about our overall gas supply, but, you know, no supply of any consumer good is designed to withstand a run on it. It's just, we don't do it that way. It's not built that way. Davis Allen, time for Traffic on the Fives.
Although I will say my initial concern would be, like, hurricane preparation. Mm-hmm. People lining up at gas stations now to get gas. Yeah. So that is a concern.
If if you are like many men of a certain age, when you hear that song, you picture a fetching young lass in her white dress dancing across the hood of a couple of cars. Tawny Katan, or some say Katan. I had never heard it pronounced that way. I'd always pronounced it Katan. She's passed away at the age of 59. She was Tom Hanks' counterpart in Bachelor Party. She was in a bunch of videos. I guess she was at one time married maybe to the lead singer Whitesnake. Anyway, so, bit of sad news for those of you who know who she is, and I'm sure many of you certainly do. So it's 8:28 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Oh, man, you know... You just when you think like I couldn't go, like my transgressors memorial ceremony that we do on Friday mornings at 6:20 and 8:20, you think this is all a joke. There's never a dearth of fodder, because here's the latest one. Even SNL talked about it.
Disneyland's Snow White ride is being criticized because Prince Charming kisses Snow White without her consent while she's asleep, which still isn't as bad as Universal Studios' new Cosby the Ride.
Oh, that's not funny. No, it kind of is. Oh, my God. No, seriously. Seriously, this is a thing in Disneyland. Somebody from one of the editors at the San Francisco Chronicle, of course, has said that new Snow White ride, man, I don't know. What they're showing is that scene from Snow White where, you know, Prince Charming comes along and kisses her while she's asleep without her consent. That can't be true love. There's no consent. You've got to learn a little bit of perspective. But when your identity, when your idol, when your religion is performing the cleansing rite of every single element of anything that might possibly run afoul of what you've internalized as today's current standards, then everything's a target. You've got to just, at some point, you've got to learn to, okay, it's a kid's story. And it's charming and it's adorable. No, that, stop it. Just, but you know, honestly, there's a little bit of a turning point, because I'm seeing more and more non-conservative critics come out and say, this is getting out of hand. This is getting to be absurd. And you are making the concerns that underlie this absurdity look absurd by association. That's an important note.
Your money now. The stock market's open. The Dow is up 169 points at 34,946. The Nasdaq's down 140 at 13,612, while the S&P is down about 6 points at 42.27. Consumer inflation expectations for April due out today. Analysts forecasting a slight rise to 3.3%. That'd be up from 3.2% in March. U.S. Chamber of Commerce calling on states to stop giving out that unemployment extra $300 a week. The business group says it's keeping some Americans at home and out of the labor market. Millions of Americans still waiting for their tax refunds as the backlog at the IRS continues to grow. The Taxpayer Advocate Service says the agency has 31 million returns that are waiting for manual processing. Our next news at 9 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs.
Body was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, Davis. This is either going to be a huge fight or it's going to be the quickest frivolous segment we've ever done.
Okay.
I don't know which.
I hope it's the one that leads to arguments.
conflict. That's because, look, I will tell you that every once in a while I do a frivolous topic that I think is like, this, nobody's going to care about this. It's silly. It's obvious. It's easy. I mean, they're all silly a little bit. And then I discovered those are the ones sometimes that just completely blow up. Like, it's crazy. So, but I don't know. I mean, I genuinely don't know. This one could be over in 10 seconds. And that's fine. If it is, we'll move on to other stuff. But here's my question for you. You're talking on a phone with somebody else, cell phone, cell to cell, okay? And it doesn't have to be cell to cell, but that's where most of us make our phone calls these days. So you're talking to somebody else on the phone, and you get disconnected, who's supposed to call back?
Okay.
437-1620, 437-1620. Is there a rule? And if so, what is the rule? Who is supposed to call back when you get disconnected? Is there an etiquette question here? Is it just everybody calls back or whatever? 437-1620, 437-1620. Davis?
I this is an easy one because this happens a lot.
It does happen a lot. It's a pretty standard human practice. Sure, no problem.
And I'll be honest, where I live now doesn't have the greatest cell service, so this has actually been a thing lately.
Okay.
Whoever made the call, whoever originated the phone call, is the leader, I would say, in that phone call. So therefore, if the call were to get disconnected for any reason, the person that made the phone call is the one that's calling back.
It's a simple rule. It's a simple rule. The person who made the phone call calls back. Done.
Easy.
10 seconds, right? Because it's just like driving. You know, you got to have a rule when two people come to a stop sign at the same time. Who goes first? The person on the right. What if there's a four-way stop and they all get there and say, shut up. Shut up. Just go away. It doesn't matter. But no, it's a simple rule. The person who initiates the phone call makes the call back. It's very simple. And yet, over the weekend, I had a phone call with somebody. We got disconnected. This person had called me. So I waited and waited and waited. And after about 30 seconds, I'm like, what in the actual? Because if they don't call, my assumption is always, well, something went wrong with your phone. And so that's my answer. But I thought, oh, I really need to talk to him. I'll give him a call. I picked up. Yeah, hey, we got disconnected. And I wanted to say, yeah, doofus. And you called me. I didn't say that. I'm more nice. 437-1620, 437-1620. Somebody here says, I don't like this particular word, so I will translate it for the air. The most particular person. There's another word they use. I just don't like that term particularly. Somebody says, I always call back because I am the one who knocks. Yeah, okay. Oh. I'm the person. Somebody here says, let's see, the person who originated the call. Amen. Amen. That's just a rule there for normal, ordinary decency. Somebody here says, neither just text me.
Well, that's a good one.
That may be more of a younger person's answer. Somebody here says, the original caller is the one who should initiate the recall. And I love this answer. The person who wants to keep talking the most, LOL. You know, so now it's a power play. It's a power play. So, you know, you call somebody and you're in the middle of the conversation and you realize, I'm not sure I want to keep doing this, but I'm going to show, you know, so you just hang up.
Yeah. But if you're the one that calls, aren't you the one that wants to talk the most?
Well, maybe you did when the conversation started. But maybe you get a little ways in and you're like, I'm done here, but I don't have a way to get rid of it. Oh, that's funny. I understand that. And there are, well, of course, the problem there is like if you just hang up, and especially if it's like you're trying to escape situation, you know that anybody that you feel the need to try to escape from in a conversation, oh, they're definitely calling you back. So you haven't solved anything. You've just made it worse. So that's not really an answer. Yeah, so this is a simple one to me, I think. You know, and I warned you in advance this might be an easy one. But for all of you people who don't know the rule, get off my lawn. No, the rule is if you start the call, you call back. And if you don't call, I guess, I don't know the other. I'm probably going to call you anyway. But I like the texting. I like that. That's a good midway point. You know, like, hey, your phone broken? You know how you say stuff on text. It's not the way you would probably say it in real life. 843 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. So that's our frivolous segment of the day. Every day at this time, we do something like that. Oh, man, I will tell you, I'm really reluctant to talk about this on the radio for what are going to be obvious reasons. But I don't want to hide it from you either. We are getting more and more reports of gas stations that are out of gas. Not a ton, but enough. There's one on Scenic, the Tom Thumb there. Somebody says that one's out. West Side, 9 Mile. I don't want to be the one that's like, oh, man, go get your gas. But, you know, I don't want to be the one to hide information from you either. Just be responsible. And, you know, for goodness sakes, if we do start seeing lines at gas stations, please be nice. Please be kind. You know, This is not a permanent problem. This is a very, very temporary problem based on this pipeline and a, you know, other sorts of issues. It's not, this won't last. It's not a hurricane. Okay, just be calm. Chill out, y'all. It's going to be all right. 844 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Hey, you know, I'm always talking about Frontier Motors, and one of the reasons I like them is because they kind of try to think about the car buying process the way you do if you're the kind of person that doesn't like that process. And I know a lot of people don't. I don't like it particularly. But one of the things I like about them is, you know, when you usually go to a used car lot, you kind of go in and you kind of put the dukes up, you know, like you got to feel like you're on defense against whatever's going to come at you. And like you're girding your loins to go to war or something. No, I mean, it shouldn't have to be that way. But don't you feel like if you want to try some cars and check them out and sit in them, like you got to ask permission, you got to go through the gatekeeper, and you know, then they want to hang around and talk to you, and it's like, just let me shop, you know, let me shop. Well, at Frontier, they get that. That's what, just a little thing, but something they do in the morning is they unlock all the cars. So if you want to go sit in one or two or 10, do so. You don't need to get permission. Now, I mean, you got to ask permission to get the keys to drive them, fine. But my point is, they understand that a lot of times this process is not done well and you may not like it, and they're trying to make it easier. So when I say it's just used car buying done a different way, an easier way, that's what I'm talking about. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Now let's go to traffic on the fives with Davis Allen.
As you're traveling northbound on Garcon Point Bridge, just keep in mind that we do still have slower moving traffic. Once you get off the bridge, you should check and clear until around the area of Shady Bayou Lane. And then from there, it's a little it's like not moving at a fast pace, but it's more of a slower, consistent pace. I-10, I-110, checking in clear, and still no delays to report from the front gate of NAS Pensacola. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older.
Ladies and gentlemen, Elon Musk.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be hosting Saturday Night Live. I mean that. Sometimes after I say something, I have to say, I mean that. So people really know that I mean it. That's because I don't always have a lot of intonation or variation in how I speak. Which I'm told makes for great comedy.
Elon Musk hosting SNL. Actually, it was a weird open because it was like sentimental and mom's stuff and kind of an odd note for SNL to try to strike. But once they got into Elon Musk and the rest of the show, it was actually very good. He was definitely the high point of the show.
I'm actually making history tonight as the first person with Asperger's to host SNL. Or at least the first to admit it. So I won't make a lot of eye contact with the cast tonight. But all right, I'm pretty good at running human in emulation mode.
I like that. That's pretty good.
I'd first like to share with you my vision for the future. I believe in a renewable energy future. I believe that humanity must become a multi-planetary space-faring civilization. Those seem like exciting goals, don't they? Now, I think if I just posted that on Twitter, I'd be fine. But I also write things like, 69 days after 420, again, haha. I don't know, I thought it was funny. That's why I wrote haha at the end.
Yeah, that's why I wrote haha at the end. Because again, he's running emulation mode humanity.
Look, I know I sometimes say or post strange things, but that's just how my brain works. To anyone I've offended, I just want to say, I reinvented electric cars, and I'm sending people to Mars in a rocket ship. Did you think I was also going to be a chill, normal dude?
Don't expect too much out of him. And this was my favorite. This is, I don't know, I thought this was pretty good, actually. And this is a good note as well. There's a serious note out of this.
A lot of times, people are reduced to the dumbest thing they ever did. Like one time I smoked weed on Joe Rogan's podcast. And now all the time I hear Elon Musk, all he ever does is smoke weed on podcasts. Like I go from podcast to podcast, lighting up joints. It happened once. It's like reducing O.J. Simpson to murderer. That was one time. fact, O.J. also hosted this show in 79. And again, in 96. Killed both times.
I mean, come on, that's pretty funny. That's not funny, it's murder. This is what I mean, you got to lighten up a little bit. You know, it's not too soon. One thing worth noting, that original comment, don't reduce people to the one dumbest thing that they ever did. That's so true. Oh my goodness, especially on social media. People are much richer than that. And, you know, I don't know, not to be theological about it, but, you know, if you're forgiven, you should be forgiving. You know, anyway, just a thought. Yeah, the other thing that happened was he did a appearance on Weekend Update where he came in as the cryptocurrency expert, and they kept asking him, what's Dogecoin? And he kept saying, well, you know, it's this thing, and then not giving an answer. And then eventually they asked him, what is it? And eventually the answer was, well, it's a hustle. Not from him, but that's what, you know, Michael Che said. And then he said, yeah. So Dogecoin dropped by one third over the weekend following that. Was it directly connected? I mean, yeah, probably so, which was interesting to me because I had not been paying attention to this thing at all, but I had two different friends on Friday who I saw who basically said, yo man, I'm into this Dogecoin. You into this Dogecoin? I'm like, what? No? What are you talking about? And I'm sure they were all, you know, pounding the sand on Sunday morning. Like, why did he say that? No. I went from 60 cents to 40 cents or whatever. The numbers are very cheap. 852 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. This is now suddenly becoming more of a thing. There's a train stopped again on Burgess, right there south of I-10, you know, on Burgess, blocking the traffic, which is, man, I told you, was it last week? There was one in the afternoon that was stopped there, and the kids didn't get out of school at Brown Barge until, like, 4:45. Crazy. I hope we're not heading back into a season where the trains just stop randomly and screw up traffic in the area too much, but that's two times in a week, so this is not good. 852, so if you're headed west, I mean, you just can't get through, and God, the poor parents trying to get their kids to West Florida, which was, you know, bad a half hour ago, and now it's just totally stopped, right? 437-1620, 437-1620. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
That's some exciting news for our local hockey team. The Pensacola Ice Flyers are going to be playing in the SPHL Championship Series against the Macon Mayhem. Of course, the Flyers, three-time champions of the SPHL, taking on a really talented Macon team who actually finished the year with a record best winning percentage. So, could be a tough battle, but really exciting nonetheless. The series begins this Friday at 7 at the Pensacola Bay Center. Also, the Pensacola Blue Wahoos are returning home. First home series in, gosh, 2 years. Crazy to believe, but it's finally back, hopefully, weather pending, but they're supposed to take on the Birmingham Barons. That's going to be tomorrow, 6:35. If you can't make the game, you can listen to the game on our sister station, ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM and 99.1 FM. I'll even be on the call. So,
nice.
And you'll hear me. So that's exciting. Their weekend series, or over the weekend, they lost two of their games, but still won the series 4-2 over Mississippi.
Six-game series. This is such a weird thing to adapt to.
So long.
That's odd.
So long. An entire week of games, basically. Right. But they still won the series 4-2. And also, crazy story, Medina Spirit, the horse that won the Kentucky Derby, still the winner, but the post-race drug test came back, and there was this this steroid in the horse's system that is legal for the horse to use, but it cannot be in the system come race day. Well, apparently on race day, that steroid was still in the system. It's meant to treat inflammation,
in
too.
In really trace amounts, though, but yeah.
Yeah, so it's sort of, they're going through the whole process right now. Right now, Bob Baffert has been suspended from racing at Churchill Downs. Could be good to go by next year, and at the moment, Medina Spirit is going to race in this next, the Preakness is the second leg of the Kentucky Derby, or the Triple Crown, and, you know, right now still the Derby winner, we just don't know. Mandaloon would be the winner if they were to DQ Medina Spirit, so we'll see how that works out. That's your quick shot of sports.
I do think it's crazy. I mean, it's like if the horse gets thrown out and wasn't the winner, but all the payouts are still done, which, by the way, I found out is a law in all the states. Every state has a law about that you pay out the results immediately based on what happened. And of course, you know, what if you get disqualified quickly, then you would get paid the proper amount. And if you get disqualified slow, then you got paid based on whatever happened. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's a weird system.
That was, 2 years ago? That was sort of how it went. The horse that won got DQ'd, actually, due to an illegal move during the race. But that didn't happen until at least minutes after the fact. So I remember that being sort of a gambling issue.
Strange. It's. I mean, I understand practically why you have to maybe do it that way, but it's still a strange thing. Hey, if you've got a plumbing issue, any kind of plumbing issue at all, Barberry Plumbing, whether it's a leak, it's a drip, it's a weird sound in the wall, water pressure, water temperature, whatever it is, call them. They'll come out. They'll take a look at it. They'll tell you what the job is going to cost before they do the work, not after, by the job, but not by the time. 477-8782. Davis Allen now with... just a real quick note before we get to that. We are in a bit of a lull right now with the storm, and yes, it has cleared off to our east, but if you look on the News Radio ThreatNet radar, it's a huge system to our south, bending all the way up and then going northwest all the way through western Mississippi. That's all coming our way. So in the course of maybe the next hour to 2 hours, and then for a couple of hours maybe after that, we're going to be getting a fairly substantial storm come through the area. So even though we're in a break right now, that break will not last all day. Davis Allen, time for traffic on the fives.
Northbound Garcon Point Bridge still looking a little slow until you get across that hump. Also westbound Gulf Breeze Parkway backed up, actually almost backed up all the way to the Community Life Center. So keep that in mind. That's pretty far back there for westbound traffic. If you're traveling on I-10 or I-110 or even Avalon, all flowing smoothly there and no delays to report from the front gate of NES Pensacola. And this report's brought to you by the ECUA Recycle Coach app. It's here and free. It includes recycling do's and don'ts, sanitation collection reminders. You can also report a problem and a lot more. Download it today. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Future News. Davis and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. How serious is the semi-gas shortage here locally going to be?
I don't think it's going to be that serious.
I think so, too. And I just want people to understand, the pipeline doesn't feed us our gas. We get our gas, like, from Gulf refineries, so we get it from a completely different mechanism. And yet, I know people are people, so you may see some temporary shortages in a couple of local stations, hopefully just for today. When will we have two lanes... will the two-lane reopening of the bridge be, as I've talked about, one way during rush hour, or will it be two-directional the whole time?
Two-directional the whole time.
I think so, too. We talked to David Forte earlier in the day, and he said it'd be a very difficult thing to message that to everybody effectively in the short period of time, so probably so. How long until we get four lanes open on the bridge?
I'm going to go October.
I hope it is sooner than this, but I think September. Nobody's saying a timeline for that. I really hope it's much sooner than that. When will the water tower be done? The Blue Angel, welcome to Pensacola Water Tower.
Let's say 2 weeks.
Yeah, they're making fast progress. They were painting on it yesterday.